As you all know, this coming Sunday is Yom Yerushalayim, Motzei Shabbat, and we're celebrating. We are celebrating 55 years since Yerushalayim was restored to Jewish sovereignty. I'm not going to say liberation, occupation. I'm just going to stay away from all that. Reality. Thank God Yerushalayim is under an Israeli flag. And we certainly recognize not only the enormity of that event, but also the miraculous nature by which it happened and the tremendous salvation. One thing to remind us of, and some people that I know here are not old enough to remember this, but some of us are, is that in May 1967, two things were happening simultaneously that should give us a little pause. One is that all of the major parks in the cities of Israel, especially Tel Aviv, were being dug up in preparation to be used as makeshift graves. And the second is that the Jewish communities in New York, and I believe even in Los Angeles, were preparing for a large influx of refugees. And the old joke that was going around at the time was, remember, the airport was called Lod. So will the last person to leave Lod please turn the lights off? Was the attitude, that was the feeling, at least among the rank and file during May 1967. I still remember as a little kid, not that old, as a little kid sitting in the kitchen on June 4th, 1967 at 10 o'clock at night. And my father, Alav Shalom, walking into the kitchen as I was doing some finishing an assignment for school. And he said, "War has just broken out." And that was 8 o'clock in the morning here in Israel. And during the course of that week, I, as the token Jew in the class, was picked to every day get up in front of the class and show updates with maps or whatever it is that we were able to get back in those days to show about the fighting. And when all the dust cleared, Israel had three times its land. Israel was suddenly being recognized very quickly as a superpower and an international player, et cetera, and the Kiddush Hashem that accompanied it was amazing. But perhaps the three words that were repeated many times that rang as sort of the symbol of the victory were the words that Mota Gur uttered and were heard by everybody: "Har Habayit Bi'adenu, Har Habayit Bi'adenu." The Temple Mountain is in our hands. And so ever since then, the 28th of Iyar, which was Wednesday, June 7th that year, the 28th of Iyar has been celebrated as Jerusalem Day or Yom Yerushalayim. It's very different than Yom HaTzmaut. First of all, Yom Yerushalayim, within a few years, became something that unfortunately was only really celebrated within the religious sector. And the second thing is that Yom Yerushalayim is on the day that the miracle took place, as opposed to Yom HaTzmaut, which really celebrates the onset of the miracle or the culmination of a process or what have you. It's the day in which we commemorate it that way. As a result of that, when Yom HaTzmaut gets shifted because of the calendar, because we don't want it to fall out on Erev Shabbat or on Sunday, or on, it can't fall on Sunday, but on Monday, then, or on Shabbat, certainly. We shift it to another day, and we're not bothered by that because what we're really celebrating is a process. Yom Yerushalayim is always celebrated on the day that it falls. By the way, it can never fall on Shabbat, and as a result of that, we have this celebration, which really is Bo Bayom. It really is on that day. 55 years ago, this Sunday, the brave men who entered through the Lion's Gate and conquered the city of Yerushalayim relatively quickly and relatively with ease. And if you're interested, read what's in my Klein Halevi's book, Like Dreamers, a marvelous book that tells the story of that battle and of that victory. In any case, what are we supposed to do about it? So there are several conflicting feelings and responses that we have. One of them is this: Yerushalayim has always been, especially interestingly, since we were first exiled from Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim has always been something that we aver is the chief joy that we have. to the point where, on the one hand, we always temper every other celebration with an awareness that Yerushalayim is our greatest celebration, and as long as Yerushalayim is not rebuilt, we can't fully celebrate. On the other hand, what it means is that when we celebrate Yerushalayim, that should be something that that leads our celebration. So even though the war was about much more than Yerushalayim, it was about survival, it was about water rights, it was about Nasser and the UAR, and it was about King Hussein and his big mistake. It was about a lot of things going on. Nonetheless, the point that we take away and that we may hold on to forever is the restoration of Yerushalayim to Jewish sovereignty. One last point before launching into the text that we're going to look at is that people often, because we've had so many decades, so many centuries of exile and persecution, we've created a vision for ourselves or a dream for ourselves of redemption being a shot out of the blue, a lightning bolt, and something which goes from 0 to 60 in no seconds, meaning that the result of redemption is an immediate turnaround, 100%, so that everything's perfect. And it clouds our judgment and makes it difficult for us to recognize, appreciate, and give thanksgiving when there is a redemption which is less than complete. Would anybody look at the state of the Jewish people today and say, we're at a perfect place? And that's ridiculous. Would anybody, on the other hand, look at where we are as a Jewish people today and say, we're just where we were 100 years ago? That's equally ridiculous. And to say that we are far more redeemed and in a much better place, nationally, security-wise, et cetera, than we were back then is a given. And our obligation to recognize that and to thank God for the miracle of survival, the miracle of salvation, the miracle of victory, and the miracle of Jewish sovereignty over the land of Israel and over Jerusalem is something that we are indeed obligated to respond to halachically. The pasuk in Dvarim, you see it, source 2, source 1 we're all familiar with, and we're going to actually return to it at the end of this year. Source 2, which is a source we've looked at in related context, is a pasuk from Moshe's Musar speech in Parshat Ekev. And in the middle of it, it says, "Et Adonai Elohecha tirah oto ta'avod." You have to fear God, you have to worship God. Uvot tidbak, cleave to God. Uvishmo tishaveah, swear by his name. Hu tehilatecha, he is your praise. V'hu Elohecha, and he is your God. Now, he is your praise, the highlighted phrase. What does that mean, he is your praise? It's a strange phrase, so we're going to find out. Asher asait chatak dolot v'tanarot ha'ila asher o'inecha. It's done in front of your eyes, all of these great and awesome things. And it's referring to the Exodus. And the next line there is, you went down to Egypt with 70 people, and now you're a huge nation. That's one of the miracles, which means that hu tehilatcha means he is the object of your praise. You are supposed to praise him for these great things that he's done. And it's something that we do on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a yearly basis, at different opportunities, Pesach, Sukkot, etc. And that leads us to the following three statements. And we're doing them pretty much in chronological order. Although not exactly. In the Shi'iltot, that's Rav Achai, and it's a mistake, it shouldn't say Rav Achai Yon, but Rav Achai Shi'iltot in the Shabbat about Chanukah, where he talks about miracles, he says, Shi'ilta just introduces the statement, to Michavin Devet Yisrael Lo'oduye Ulishabuche Kame Shemaya Be'idna Demitrachish Lunisa. The Jewish people are obligated to praise and thank and praise God at a time that he does a miracle, and he brings the psukim, right? And he goes through the arguments of it. And then he says, therefore, when you come to a place, means that's when the miracle actually happens. When you come to a place where a miracle happened, you have to say the bracha. I've said that bracha when I got to Ma'abrot HaYordain several times, the place where we crossed with Yehoshua. And then in the highlighted passage, v'chadmata yoma di'idrachish tunisa, when the day that a miracle happened arrives, meaning the anniversary of when a miracle happened comes, then you go on Chanukah Purim. He gives Chanukah Purim as examples. And that's a bracha that we make in Purim on Purim with Megillat, Ukriyat HaMegillah, and on Chanukah with lighting the candles, as he says here. Which means we are obligated to commemorate the anniversary of a miracle by thanking God. The last piece I want to show you comes from the second to last place comes from this pasuk Huti Latcha in the Sefer Mitzvot Katan. So the Sefer Mitzvot Katan is really an abridged version of, guess what, Sefer Mitzvot Gadol. All right, Sefer Mitzvot Gadol was the Sefer Mitzvot composed by Rav Moshe of Kusi, one of the Balei HaTosfot, and Rabbi Chiel Mikorvei, in the 13th century, composed sort of an abridged version of it. And in it, he counts as a mitzvah the following, Lahalel Bizmanim Kfuim. We have to praise God at certain times. In other words, there's certain times in the year that we're obligated to praise God. And he quotes the pasuk, Hu Tehillatecha, this pasuk here, meaning the statement that God is your praise is not just a descriptive statement, it's a prescriptive statement. Not just that God is the one that you praise, but you are obligated to praise God at particular points when miracles have happened. And you see the rest of the pasuk in Dvarim, it is, he is your praise and he is your God who has done all these great things for you. And so therefore, when an opportunity comes to thank God and praise God for great things he's done for us, he says, that's a mitzvah d'oraita. And an example he gives of it on the personal level is when you are saved from some danger. Classically, you're very sick and get better. You are imprisoned wrongly and you are let out. You are traveling in dangerous places, desert, the sea, and you are relieved from them. You are obligated to thank God, and that's Birchat HaGomel that he presents here. That's on the personal level. All of that put together seems to indicate that if we are that blessed and meritorious, evidently meritorious generation that has been privy to and has been the beneficiaries of the tremendous miracles of 1967, and now we can easily come to Yerushalayim anytime, go to the Kotel, go up to Har HaBayit, it's all ours. If we're able to do that, then we need to thank God for that. We have an obligation to thank God for that. And so we have Yom Yerushalayim, and on Yom Yerushalayim, we say Hallel. As a matter of fact, in many circles, even those people who are reticent to say Hallel with the bracha on Yom Atzma'ut are very comfortable saying it on Yom Yerushalayim. That was originally the psak of the Rabbanut, because Yom Yerushalayim really commemorates a miracle that we saw with our eyes on that day. However, there's yet another piece to the puzzle. Every bracha that we say in Shmona Esrei is about something. The first three brachot are praising God for who God is and who God is and has been to us. The middle brachot are all particularistic requests, ending with a general request of Shomea Tefillah. And the last brachot, chiefly Modim, are brachot of thanksgiving. Like the other two, it's kind of hard to explain. Other thanksgiving, Modim is a bracha of thanksgiving. And we thank God for our life, for our spirit, for our soul, for all of the miracles that happen every day. That's what we do at every tefillah. An interesting thing happens to Shmona Esrei when there is a seasonal or calendrical event that's of great significance. It has impact on the tefillah. For instance, in the winter, we mention that God makes it rain. In the summer, we don't make that mention. For instance, during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, we mention that God, we ask God to remember us for the good, that Micha Mocha, when we change Hayal HaKadosh to Melech HaKadosh, HaMelech HaMishpat, we make certain changes. When it is a day in which a Korban Musaf would be brought, we add Ya'aleh V'Yavot to the Avodah, because the Avodah takes on a new picture. And when there are days in which we are thanking God for special miracles, we add a paragraph that starts with the words Al HaNisim or Ve'al HaNisim, Ve'al HaGvurot, etc. And then we speak about that day. And we know about it from Purim and from Chanukah. Rabbeinu Tam, you all know Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi's younger grandson. I mean, he had a few, but he's not as old as the Rashbam, his older brother. Rabbeinu Yaakov, Rameir, that's Rabbeinu Tam. This quote is from the Machzor Vitri, which is from the school of Rashi, or Shmaya, who was Rashi's student, put this together as, it's kind of in form sort of a sidur, but it's really halachot of tefillah. Posek de b'chol shmonasre brachot, in any of the brachot of shmonasre, it's really 19, yachol adam l'chadesh, you can add in, and whatever it is, bein dvarim shein hoda'a, whether it's thanksgiving, utfilah, or request, bein dvarim shein tzorchav, or things that you need, ho ilu mi'ein bracha u'mechadesh, as long as it fits the theme of that bracha, v'lava hefzek bracha kol, it's not an interruption, and it's not untoward, and you can add that in, which means, for instance, that theoretically, and we're not going into this area right now, but theoretically, if there is a group of people that you believe needs special protection, then in the bracha al hatzadikim, you may want to mention that particular group. Or if there is a group of people who are particularly dastardly and you believe need to be wiped out, you may add that into the lamal shinim. I'm not passing a halacha here, just pointing out the impact of Rabbeinu Tam's words. But notice that he says also, d'vareim shein hoda'a, when it comes to Thanksgiving. And so already in the, I believe, 1949, certainly by the early 50s, there were attempts to compose, and there were compositions made of an Al HaNisim edition for Yom HaTzma'ut. And there are numerous nuscha'ot of it that float around about how to thank God properly in Modim for Yom HaTzma'ut. A few years ago, I got together with a friend of mine who himself wrote composed a nusach of Al HaNisim for Yom HaTzma'ut, the one we say in our family. And we said, you know, we really need to compose an Al HaNisim for Yom Yerushalayim. We started this a number of years ago and batted ideas around. And this is Dr. Avi Schwindman from Bar Ilan University. And he's the one we could together composed that added verse to Ma'oz Tzur and the version of Nachem. And we worked on it. And finally, about 2 days ago, we finished. We put on a push now because of Yom Yerushalayim. And we finished, and it's already been published to the web. As a matter of fact, I'm going to share with you the links right now. There you go. There are two links to look at, and you can take a look at it. One of them has an English translation also of the text, but we're going to look at the text itself right now. So we wanted to find a way to thank God for the miracle of Yom Yerushalayim. And we decided to do it in a more P.U.T. way, in a more poetic way, as befits tefillah, and to have it, of course, be based on psukim and mamarei chazal, as is appropriate for P.U.T. But we also wanted to single out four stages in what Yom Yerushalayim means to us. So I can tell you that my parents, Aleihem HaShalom, told me how they would travel from Los Angeles to Israel, go to Yerushalayim, between 48 and 67. They were there, I think, two or three times at least during those 19 years. And they would go up to Har Tzion and stand on their tiptoes and peek so they could see a corner of the Kotel. And there were Jews who went half the world distance in order to take a peek at the Kotel. That's what Yerushalayim was like from 48 to 67. We had the new city that was developing, but the Yerushalayim that was at our heart, Har HaBayit, was still something we could only glimpse from a distance. Then, of course, there was the terrible threat starting in late 66 that culminated in early June of 67. Then, of course, there was the great victory, the great miraculous victory. And then there is what we've done since, including the immediate response and ever since then. So I'm going to just introduce you to a couple of psukim here, and then we'll take a look at the tefillah, and we'll go back to the psukim and see how these psukim sort of build this tefillah together. The tefillah is available, obviously, to everybody. Please share it with your friends. Send the link to your friends. If people are not comfortable saying it in tefillah, it's certainly a piyut to say. If you sit down and have a festive meal on Sunday for Yom Yerushalayim, then sing it or say it before Birkat HaMazon. If you're not comfortable saying it in Birkat HaMazon, or at the end of Birkat HaMazon as part of the Harachamans, we should thank God. And this is a beautiful way to thank God for this amazing miracle. Okay. Near the very end of the Torah, after the brachot that Moshe gives to the tribes, he describes Am Yisrael as Vayishkon Yisrael Betach Badad. Am Yisrael dwells securely but alone, in isolation. And we took that theme of securely and in isolation, and we turned it around. You'll see. And that same word, badad, describes Yerushalayim in the inverted sense, which is Echa Yashva Badad, the beginning of Echa. How could it be this amazing city of throngs coming and of kings and ministers coming to visit now sits all alone like a bereaved widow? In Yirmiyahu, we find a reflection of people's attitude towards their city, even though it's, by the way, it's not Yerushalayim in this reference, and they call it Kiryat Misosi, the city of my joy. I think we can all understand that if we have connections with some town or some city. It's important. It's the city of my joy. And the last thing I want to show you before getting to it, and then we'll go back to the psukim, is perhaps the most famous poetess, liturgical poet, who sang the praises of Yerushalayim was Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, of course, in the 11th century in Spain, who, according to the Agadot, made Aliyah, and it was in Yerushalayim that he was trampled by a horse. Whether he actually made it to Yerushalayim is subject to historians' debate. But in any case, Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, who, by the way, in Agnon's book, where he writes about the great poets of Israel, he calls Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi Bechir HaMishorim, the choicest of all the singers. So Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi wrote numerous songs, including elegies about Yerushalayim, and one of them is the beginning of a series of the last keynote we say in our tradition, towards the end, that starts with Tzion Haloti Shali L'Shlom Asirayet. By the way, became a very popular phrase because in the early 70s, there was a popular song written to those words, which was really about Asirei Tzion, those who were the refuseniks in the Soviet Union. Tzion haloti shali l'shlom asirayich. Tzion, why aren't you looking for your imprisoned ones and see how they are? Dorshei shlomech v'hem yeter adarayich. Those who seek your peace, they are the remains of your flock. Miyam mizrach mitzafon v'teman shalom. Shalom, they come from every, they are in every distance, in every direction. Rachov v'karov si'im mikol avarayich. Bring them from every direction, from far and from near. Shalom asir ta'ava noten d'ma'av ketal. Chermon v'nichsaf d'ritam al harayich. Everybody's weeping for them to be able to come back. Livkot enuteich ani tanim. Ve'et echalom shivat shvuteich. And here he utters the very famous words, which Naomi Shemer made famous. Ani chinor l'shirayich. I am the harp of your songs, he says to Yerushalayim. And of course, Naomi Shemer, who was familiar with this, turned it into L'chol Shirayich Ani Kinor. Ani Kinor L'Shirayich. We'll come back to these psukim, but I want to show you the text itself. Here it is. We start with, of course, Ala Nisim V'Ala Porkan V'Ala Gvurot V'Ala Tshuot V'Ala Mechamot Shasita L'Avotenu V'Yememehem Bazman Hazeh. Okay. And now, Bimei Shacharut Medinatenu, in the early days, in the dawn of our state, Vishichur Umatenu, and the liberation of our nation, Shachan Badad Levavartsenu, the heart of our land dwelt in isolation. Kiryat Misosenu, the city of our joy. And Hakmeim Lavaneha Tinu Shivacheha, those who longed for her stones spoke of her praise. B'chirei meshorerecha kechinor l'shireha. The choicest of her poets were like a harp to her songs. And that's, of course, Yehuda HaLevi. This is what happened for all the centuries. And then this line brings us to 48 to 67. Mibein hacharakim satsu b'nei amcha. From between the cracks, your children peaked. Lahasbia enam misridei tu vechalecha, to fill their eyes, to satiate their eyes from the remnants of your goodly sanctuary, of your lofty sanctuary. That's what happened till 67. Then ragshu goyim vitrao, the nations bestir themselves and they plotted evil. Amdu aleinu lechaloteinu, they stood over us in order to destroy us, which of course reminds us of Mishamda. We took this from Mishamda. Negdam azru chayog dudei banecha. Standing up to them, facing them, the platoons of your children, your soldiers, girded themselves with strength, uvritcha et avotenu lanu kiamta, and your covenant with our ancestors, with our forefathers, you kept it for us. That's the miracle of the war. We recognize that the miracle of the war was a divine salvation and was part of the brit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with us. And then what happened? Har kodshecha biyadenu ivkadeta. You entrusted your holy mountain into our hands. V'sha'arei shalem lanu fatachta. You opened up the gates of Shalem. Shalem is one of the names of Yerushalayim, and I'll show you the Midrash in a moment. Darchei Tzion, sahalu bimcholot chogegecha. The roads to Tzion were dancing, were singing, were ringing with the dancing of those who were coming to celebrate with you or for you. Ufa'amei ragleinu heshavta ladom raglecha. And you brought the rhythms of our steps back to your footstool, back to Yerushalayim. Now, if you remember that a week after Yerushalayim, on that day, that Wednesday was Shavuot, and that was the first day that people came en masse, and there was no plaza, there was still a lot of rubble there, and the place was just jam-packed with people coming to the Kotel to daven at Shavuot. It was an amazing scene. I wasn't out there. It's an amazing scene. So the roads at Zion are now filled with the throngs coming. And that's what happened in the aftermath of the war. And now what do we have? V'hine chozot einenu. Our eyes see. Bizrichat or panecha al chatzot menuchatecha. We see your countenance radiating on the courtyards of your resting place. Menuchatecha is another name for Yerushalayim, menucha. V'hine shom'ot ozneinu kol sason v'simcha. Our ears hear the sound of happiness and rejoicing in the streets of your beloved inheritance. And of course, that rings for us. And now we hear that voice. And forever we will always elevate this eternal glory of Yerushalayim as our chiefest joy. Not the oath that they took when Yerushalayim was destroyed. If I don't make Yerushalayim my chiefest joy, but we're committing now that Yerushalayim will be our chief joy. I want to show you just a couple more of the references here. There is a, we mentioned in it that we would peek through the cracks in order to see that holy place for all those years. That's based on the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Domed dodi l'tzvila ofer elim, hine zeh omer achar kotlenu. He's standing right behind the wall. This is about redemption. It's about Mashiach. He's standing right behind the wall. Mashkiach min achalonot. He's looking down from the windows. Meitzitz min acharakim, peeking through the cracks. In Tehilim Samachay, a pasuk, by the way, we're familiar with from Brit Milah also, Ashrei tivcharu tkarev. Happy is one that you choose and bring close, God. Yishkon chatzerecha. He will dwell in your courtyards. Nispa'a betuv betecha. He will be suffused with the goodness of your house. Kedosh echalecha, the sanctity of your temple. And that's what we referred to, that people would come to peek to just see a little glimpse of your good temple. What remained? In Tehilim Bet, famously, Lama Rakshu Goyim, why are the nations all bestirred? Which is when we talked about the war. And then, of course, Vehisha Amda, we referenced in the piece. There is a midrash in Shir HaShirim Zuta, which is known as the Midrash Shivim Shemot. It's the 70 names that Yerushalayim has. 70 names for Am Yisrael, 70 names for Yerushalayim, 70 names for Yerushalayim. And I didn't list all 70. You could take a look at them. One of them is Menucha. Yerushalayim is called God's resting place. One is called Har Chemed, the delightful place. And one of them is called Shalem, as we find in the story of Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem. So we used all three of those names, although there's many more, in the piyut. Darchei Tzion, towards the end of the piyut, we said that the roads to Tzion were now ringing with the dancing, was a response to this pasuk in Eicha. At the beginning of Eicha, we read, Darchei Tzion Avelot, the roads to Tzion are desolate. Mi bli ba'imoy, nobody's coming. And now what do we see in our day? the Rosh Hashanah jammed. It's like, it's a strange thing, but if you're trying to park at Mamila on a Friday so you can walk down to the Kotel and it takes a long time, it's frustrating. On the other hand, say this pasuk and smile. Darchei Tzion Avelot, and now I can't even find a parking space. It's great. It's amazing. In Shir HaShirim, towards the end, the lover says to his beloved, Mayafufa Mayach Ban Na'alim Bat Nadiv. How beautiful are your steps? And Chazal say this is referring to the steps of the Jewish people making Aliyah L'Regel. Of course, in Tefillah, we say, V'tachazen Einenu, let our eyes see your return to Yerushalayim. And so at the end of the piyut, we said, Chozot Einenu. And in Tehillim, famous pasuk, Romu Adonai Eloheinu V'shtachavu La'adom Maglav, we say, praise God and bow to his footstool as it is, which is what we referenced in the piyut. In Yishayahu Samech, at the beginning of Haftarah, we read on Parsha Kitavo, we say, Kumi Ori Kiva Orech, your light has come. This is salvation. V'chvod Adonai Elach Zarach, God's honor shines upon you. And so that's what we referenced in there. Od Yishama, of course, you're familiar with. The mention of Netzach Tifarta comes from this. In Divrei Yamim, a very famous passage that David, this is before, just before David dies, Vayvarach David et Adonai, then he called Kami of David. And then he says, L'cha Adonai ha-gedula va-gevura va-tiferet va-netzach va-ahod. And the famous drasha of Rabbi Akiva, he says, ha-netzach is Yerushalayim. So netzach tifarta. And netzach is Yerushalayim because Yerushalayim is forever. That's what netzach means, forever. And so all of that, with, of course, the conclusion that we will elevate Yerushalayim and she will be our chiefest joy, and that is our commitment, is what went into making this piyut. Again, I sent you the links so that you can access the piyut, you can print it, you can say it, include it in your tefillot. There's also a second link, which on the Open Sidur page is already there with a line-by-line translation in English, which is much better than the translation that I just gave, although I actually wrote it, but it was better because a few words here and there are a little better. And so you have access to that, and we'll continue to build up the site with more information, more background, and these sources will ultimately go up there too. This source sheet will also be on the YU Torah page, so that this shiur should be up by this evening, and you can download it from there as well. Anyways, that's what we've got. So in Mirtza Hashem, we will have a very festive Yom Yerushalayim on Sunday, and we will have yet another vehicle for praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this amazing miracle that we're all the beneficiaries of.